The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisperer in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Seeker cards in Into the Maelstrom, the sixth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst receive a Tentacle, and the cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are two Seeker cards in the pack. The first one is Ancestral Knowledge. It is a an asset that costs 3 experience points. It is permanent and exceptional, though, so it will cost you 6 experience points in total. It has the talent trait. Your deck must include at least 10 skills. Your deck size is increased by 5. As a response, before you draw your opening hand, attach 5 random non-weakness skills from your deck face down to this card, and then as a free triggered ability, exhaust Ancestral Knowledge, draw one of the attached skills. Now, I did a little bit of looking over on ArkhamDB, and the Seeker investigators who tend to play a lot of skills include Amanda Sharp, Mandy Thompson, and Minte Fan, but it's really not too difficult anyway to build a lot of different Seeker decks to reach that 10 skill threshold. It's also worth noting that Amanda's weakness does count toward that 10 skill threshold, although of course you can't attach it to this card at the beginning of the game. What do you think about this one, Nate?
Man, oh man, is this card really strong, in my opinion. Normally, cards that increase your deck size tend to limit your consistency, but in this case, you're essentially attaching those 5 cards right to this card and then using it as a way to draw cards for free. That seems pretty good. Investigators like Amanda obviously probably take this immediately just because it's essentially a draw 5 over the course of 5 turns. And I don't like this card for that reason.
Yeah, can you elaborate?
Well, for me, this is just a card that provides free advantage without really any risk to it. And, like, apart from the 6 experience that you invest in it, like, you're always going to see it because it's permanent, and you're always going to draw skills off of it. And, comparing this to something like Cryptic Knowledge, which costs 8 experience to include in your deck and draws you 6. This costs you 6 experience and essentially draws you 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't draw you into weaknesses.
True.
So, I don't know. It's a very strong card. I don't like the design of it, personally.
Yeah, I guess maybe they felt that the whole attaching 5 random non-weakness skills would be sort of the drawback that might keep this, push it towards being more balanced. Although, honestly, depending on, I think, you know, the only Amanda deck I've played had so many wild skill icons in it that it really didn't matter which skills you know, if you had to choose 5 at random and they all have 2+ wild skill icons on them, you know, really, you're pretty happy drawing those. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of I haven't tested this card or anything like that, but, adding 5 cards to your deck, that's not really a big deal when you're already stacking 5 on it. And I mean, Seekers have so much draw anyway, most of the time, that they're the ones who can actually play a card like Versatile and not be too set back. Whereas other classes that don't have as much draw will struggle. How would you rate this one? Is it an Elder Sign?
Instinctually, I want to give it an Elder Sign just because it's it seems so obviously powerful to me, but you know, I feel like I'd get flack for giving it an Elder Sign, so I'm gonna give it an Elder Sign.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it an Elder Sign as well. It's the 10 card, the 10 skill threshold. There are certain investigators who already gravitate toward that, so it's obvious. You know, it's a pretty enticing pickup for them. And even if you wanted to play it in another seeker, it's not that difficult at this point in the life cycle of the game, with so many good skills out there that you couldn't find 10 that you wouldn't mind packing in your deck. So if you're playing a skill-based deck, this is pretty nice.
I mean, even if you're not, like, you're, as a seeker, you're likely including Deduction, Eureka, and Inquiring Mind. I mean, that's already 6 right there, and then this card lets you put in another 5 cards, so you could just load up with even just neutral skills like Unexpected Courage or Guts or something. Then there's your 10 skills right there. So it's like not really that difficult at all. And especially when you have skills that cycle themselves too, that creates even more advantage. And it's just, I don't know.
And Amanda just can use Promise of Power. So there's 4 skills right there.
This also activates Harvey's ability consistently every turn for 5 turns.
That's true.
So like, what the heck?
That's true. So yeah, this I think this one's pretty clearly an Elder Sign. It's very, very good. Does cost 6 XP, but so I mean, there are, that's the problem, I think, more with the Seeker card pool, is there are just so many fantastic cards that cost experience points at this point that you can't, unless you're playing standalone and you're building a deck that can include them all. I think in most campaigns, you're not going to earn enough experience points so you can have Ancestral Knowledge, the Necronomicon, Knowledge is Power, and the Pendant of the Queen all in your deck and not have, you know, not need 50 experience points to play it. So,
I mean, what a terrible problem to have, I guess.
I know. I think a lot of the other classes would be like, well, you know, I'd like to have this problem of too many good cards to spend my experience points on.
I can't hold all these excellent cards in my card pool.
Speaking of more excellent cards, the second Seeker card in the pack is Ariadne's Twine. It is a free asset that costs 3 experience points. It has 2 intellect skill icons and the ritual trait. It enters play with 0 secrets. Secrets on Ariadne's Twine can be spent as if they were on any asset controlled by an investigator at your location, and is a free triggered ability. Exhaust Ariadne's Twine. Move 1 secret from an asset you control to your resource pool as a resource, or vice versa, and it takes up an arcane slot. What do you think about this one?
This card is so good. Turning resources into secrets is so silly good. When you combine this with cards like Necronomicon or really anything that just wants to eat secrets, the amount of value that you can get off of a single secret is so strong. And the fact that you gain a resource every turn is also like a thing. So you just constantly get so much value out of it. And in addition to the fact that seekers already are very good at generating resources, you're not really going to be worried about not having resources to invest in this thing.
There are so many cards in the Seeker card pool that use secrets and let you, and so this sort of feels like the piece that ties it all together. So you have cards that use secrets like the Eldritch Sophist. It's just like, okay, I just want to move those secrets around. You know, you're gaining resources. And like you said, seekers are so good at generating resources that it's really not, you should have plenty of resources available to convert to secrets as necessary. And then, God forbid, you end up in a situation where you have ample secrets and not enough resources. It's like, well, that's not a problem either, because I can just transfer them back the other way. So does this also get an Elder Sign, or is it a +1 because it's more specific to a certain
style of deck, like a deck that's already incorporating a lot of cards that use secrets.
Yeah, I think this is a plus one, because like you said, this is a card you kind of have to build around. But that being said, when you do build around it, this is like a linchpin.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is definitely a plus one in those. It's probably, I mean, it's an Elder Sign for sure in the secrets deck, but as cards go, you do need to build around this. And I mean, it's got it. You need an arcane slot for it, but most seekers don't care about that. So, I mean, a free asset that takes up a slot you don't care about that lets you convert secrets back and forth as you wish, once per turn. I mean,
it's also good when you draw multiples of it too. Yeah, so you can have two of them in play and just constantly add two secrets to the Necronomicon every turn if you can generate enough resources for it.
Jeez, as if that card needed to be any more broken. Yeah, so, it's almost like this is like the free part here really blows me away. It feels like this should have at least costed one or two resources, but man, the fact that it's free, like 6 XP in a secret stack, this is pretty much guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, there's Astounding Revelation too in Mandy, so you can just search for things, get free secrets that way, or get free resources, and then turn those resources into it's like, holy man, oh man, is that good?
Yeah, for sure. So, a plus one for Ariadne's Twine, but in a secret deck, it's definitely the linchpin of the whole circus. That's going to do it for our look at the Seeker cards in Into the Maelstrom. Man, Seekers make off like bandits in this pack. Ancestral Knowledge, an Elder Sign for that card. Amazing. Drawing cards every, you know, just as a free triggered ability for... You get to draw 5 cards as a free triggered ability. Pretty sweet. And then, of course, Ariadne's Twine, the sort of the missing link in the whole secrets deck that we've been building towards for several cycles at this point, and it letting you convert resources to secrets and vice versa as a free triggered ability every turn. Can't really complain if you enjoy playing Seekers, can you, Nate?
Nope. This is a very solid pack for the Seeker class.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.